Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to City Council Regular Meeting Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014 at 7:02 p.m. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Salute.
Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Here.
Here.
Councilmember Mello.
Here.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Mayor Cox.
Here. Thank you. Item number four is agenda review. Are there any requests or changes by staff?
Nothing from staff, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Council?
No.
Nothing.
Very good. Item number 4A is consider acceptance by motion of City Council, July 22nd, 2014. Agenda, pleasure of the council.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion carries. Item number 5 is presentations, proclamations. There are none. Item number 6, public comment, written communications. Members of the public wishing to address the council on any item not on the agenda may do so at this time when recognized by myself. However, no formal action will be taken unless placed on a future agenda. Public comment is generally restricted to 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody would like to speak? No? Okay. Moving on to item number 7 is the consent agenda. Consent items are considered to be routine by the City Council will be enacted in one motion. There will be no separate discussion on those items unless councilperson or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda. Item 7A is to consider approval of general payroll and direct deposit check registers. 7B is to consider adopting a resolution authorizing the adjustment of the holiday schedule and closure of the City Hall between the Christmas and New Year's holiday period observed. Item 7C is consider approval by motion allocating surplus property sales revenue in accordance with each respective department's equipment sacrifices during the public auction process.
Mr. Mayor, I'd request that item B be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion.
Very good. Item B will be removed. Anybody else? No? Okay. Pleasure of the council.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we approve consent agenda items 7A and 7C.
Second.
Very good. It's been moved and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries. Let's review item 7B, consider adopting a resolution authorizing the adjustment of the holiday schedule and closure of City Hall between Christmas and New Year's holiday period observed.
I apologize to staff for late information on this. When I read through, I wasn't sure that the resolution had the right wording for the status that we're in. So what I remember is last year when we approved what had become a part of the furlough program, an accommodation for the fact that there was furlough going on and there were Friday closures at City Hall that we may or may not come forward with a similar plan in the future once we restored everybody to full status. So correct me if I'm wrong on that, Tim.
I think you are correct. And in looking at the resolution, I think I would tend to agree with you that this may have some wording that dates back to the furlough period.
Exactly.
And further look here. Particularly the second whereas, previous fiscal constraints. Like I said, I would look at it from this standpoint. Are you looking to a rewriting of the resolution?
Well, I think so. I'm sorry, I've been out of town.
No, not at all. I understand.
Until last night, so I didn't have a chance to ask you earlier.
And also, again, I think the resolution calls for a roll call vote as well, and we're putting this on consent. So there
yes, I believe by setting it as a resolution rather than having it being managed as you know, just individual time off.
Is council okay with tabling this issue and we'll bring it back?
That's what I'd
like. In a
different
format to the next meeting.
It's fine with me.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. My apologies.
Okay. Do Directions been given to staff on item 7B. It'll be tabled. Item number 8 is public hearings. Persons wishing to speak during a public hearing are asked to approach the microphone and address the council and limit comments to 3 minutes. Although not required, it is also requested that you please state your name for the record. Item 8A is to conduct a public hearing and by motion consider approval of the grantee performance report for submission as required under CDBG guidelines. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. We bring this forward to you each year in requirement under the California Department of Housing and Community Development, more specifically the Community Development Block Grant Program. As we receive funds back on housing rehabilitation loans on previous grants and revolving of those funds, we do report on the status of those funds. We can do one of four things. And actually, when we come back to you next year, that will be changing. But as of the close of 13-14, we can do one of four things with those funds. We can revolve them into new housing rehab loans. We can do economic development loans. We can place the funds into an open CDBG grant, or we can do what's called a program income waiver, take a CDB-eligible activity and place the funds into that, which is the primary issue we did in 13-14, which was replace the bay doors at the Willis Fire Station. So the report in front of you this evening provides the compliance information pertaining to that project and then some historical information pertaining to several loans we've done historically on some housing rehab units with this program income activity. Again, this is primarily a compliance rather than fiscal related report. And with that, I'll entertain any questions prior to opening it up.
Thank you. Council?
Yeah. No questions.
No. Nothing.
Okay, Tim, I think you're off the hook there. No questions.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll go ahead and open up public hearing at 7:09 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody like to speak? Doug, please. Go ahead. Sure. Why not? Go ahead.
Thanks. The Planning Commission meeting, and I came up about people's houses looked at a survey by Pacific Municipal Association, DMC, on behalf of the City of Willis. The contractor was wondering, when the subject came up, I believe this Planning Commission was Ripley, asked the question about what chance people have to acquire resources such as money, for example, to fix up their houses and other plans. What the difference was in the Southern Rehabilitation Grantee Performance Report. If I am correct in my own mind, it is a different scale. It's the one thing that we're talking about through it's a more periodic statement, but not the same as this one. So the central question is, in the pathway from minor fix-up to major fix-up, is there a certain threshold across where you can qualify to grant money currently being discussed in the CDBG grantee performance report?
So I don't know the answer to that. Tim, do you?
It's a scale thing. You can't just get a can of paint. You need to have your house have a serious percentage to distinguish against the subject of the planning commission you can hire. Obviously, something like a few minor things.
Okay. Well, Tim might have some input on that.
Sure. There's two factors involved here, Mr. Ross. One's going to be, yes, a matter of scale. A new coat of paint would be outside the scope of something that would be provided through these types of resources. Also, you'd be looking at the area of financial need, median household income, and the inability to utilize the private equity market or your traditional housing loans in order to do a remodel or rehabilitation to your house. So it would be a matter of scale and a matter of qualification. Those would be the two issues involved here. Then the third issue would be a matter of funding availability. While we have significant requirements from year to year in terms of reporting, this is not actually a very large source of funding at this point in time. Given new requirements, and we'll get into those during next year's report, we'll actually even be further depleted. There is, however, another resource through Housing Community Development and revolving loans that are available. We work with County Housing and Weatherization to provide the funds available. And folks, again, it's a matter of scale and scope, and then a demonstrated inability to go into the equity market and obtain a home loan in order to upgrade on your own with that factor. So hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Tim. Anybody else like to speak? No? Okay, we'll go ahead and close. Oh, please step forward. Just about to hit that guy.
Hold on. Are Mr. Reynolds, this is actually the public hearing portion of the CDBG grant. This is not public discussion.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Sorry, sir.
All right, thank you, Tim. All right, we'll go ahead and close the public. It's 7:13. Council, any further questions?
No, none.
No?
No, very straightforward.
Okay, very good. Pleasure to the council.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the grantee performance report be approved for submission as presented.
Second.
So move in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. All right. Now we're going to move on to 8B. 8B is conduct a public hearing and upon conclusion by motion adopt a resolution confirming the cost of abatement services and declaring them a special assessment. No final abatement list available at time of meeting only. Everybody got theirs? Okay. Very good. Steph.
All right. Good evening, Chief. Mr. Mayor, members of the council. In accordance with the California Administrative Code, a hearing is required prior to the adoption of the resolution and confirming the cost of the weed abatement and declare these costs a lien against the properties on which the work was performed. The purpose of the hearing is to discuss the cost of the abatement only. We ordered the abatement done. And with that, at the conclusion of the public hearing, consider adoption of the attached resolution for confirming the cost. And you have your attachment B placed. That is the current list of properties that have not paid. And so with that, if you have any questions.
Super. Okay. Council? Gary?
No, just a comment. Thank you, Chief. I noticed that, as has been in the past, many of these addresses are out-of-county owners. So just a comment. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief and Captain Sykes, for all of your diligent efforts. That's not probably why you entered the fire service, to conduct weed abatement. We're sure of that, but thank you for all of your diligent duties handling it. It's not pleasant, but you do a fine job managing it. So good work. Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Is Myers Construction still doing the cleanup?
No. Tony Tapia Construction is our contractor.
And the administrative fees, 25% is not that high compared to other places. Some places charge like $400 a flat fee for weed abatement. So that 25% for administrative fees and mail outs is normal. That's all I have.
Okay, super.
No questions.
No questions.
Okay, very good. We'll go ahead and open up public hearing at 7:16 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, whoever would like to step forward and speak, you're more than welcome. Please.
My name is John Wilson, and I got some weed abatement done at one of my rental houses. And they charged me $89 for a brush pile, which we haven't been able to find. And I went to the fire department, and I talked to Skip Sykes. And he brought some photographs out of my back driveway, back alley, and we looked on there, and there was no brush pile in the total we took. But I was charged $89 for it.
Okay. So you're contesting the charges?
Yes.
So with this, the property at 140 North Ventura, he was charged one cubic yard of removal of debris, and then a $59 charge for the mowing or the weed eating. So as you can see, there's the pre a job, and then this is the post job. So as you can see, there was no brush pile there, but we still removed and all of the debris that was cut down and was hauled off. So that was the 1 cubic yard of debris that was moved.
Okay.
And that is our base charge of 1 cubic yard, and the lot mowing was 0 to 2,500 feet, and that's in accordance with the contract that was bid.
Okay, so basically that fell into place with basically the minimum amount.
Yes.
And, okay. Well, there's obviously some weeds there.
This says brush. You see the brush there? I had all of the abatement people come over and remove all the olive trees and brush in the back that was all cleared off. And there was some grass, as you can see, some weeds growing there, but there was no brush back there.
So you misunderstood what you were supposed to do, is that what you're saying?
No. It says here, brush pile. It says debris removal brush, 1 cubic yard. And then weeds was another $59.
So the category that the debris is debris and brush categorized.
So
that's
okay.
How that's.
It's like debris slash brush is
right.
What it is.
But there was no brush back there. It was just that grass that we saw in the
picture. Weeds. Right? Okay. Council, you have any questions?
Chief, could we get a shot of that?
Which one?
First picture again, please. Yeah. The pre-abatement photo, please. No, thanks. Okay, thank you. You have a total of three photos.
This is the picture pre, and then the post. This is after the contractor.
So you just had the one pre-photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's from the one end. This is the similar picture looking as the pre-con.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Yes.
Nothing
there
further.
Was...
Nothing further, Mr. Mayor.
There was no brush, but that the debris pile cubic yards falls into debris, brush, and that
weeds,
debris could be classified as mattresses, the
pretty
debris
much
that he has to remove from the property.
Including weeds.
Yes.
For removal. What was
it's
the charge on that debris removal?
1 cubic yard of debris was $89.83 base charge.
Okay. And the other charge was for?
The other charge was for the weed eating, which was $59.88. Give you a total of $149.71, admin fee of $37.43, and our total for this property was $187.14.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Okay. Nothing further, Mr. Mayor.
I'm in questions.
I do have. So you say that you had someone come in and do removal. Was that after you got the notice from the city?
No, it was before.
It was before.
About 2 years ago.
Oh, so we're not.
See back there was all the trees and there was all the flies or whatever get in there. So they've been trying to remove all the olive trees. So I had them take them down and get them in my alleyway.
Okay, but you didn't have anybody come in and do any work since you got the notice from the city saying that you needed to abate the property. So how many notices did you get? Two? One, okay.
And, you know, it says mowing of the weeds. I don't dispute that for the $59. But hauling away, you see it's a cubic yard of brush.
But that, what he's saying, that's the minimum amount. Am I incorrect?
That's our minimum charge. Yes.
So maybe it would have been easier for you or for anybody to understand if they just said the minimum amount is this and you fall within that amount. But that's what he's saying is you're being charged the minimum amount.
Yeah. You know, when I brought up this dispute, it says brush pile. And there was no brush. There was some weeds back there. It says brush removal. And there's no brush there. It's just
so you're saying there's two different charges. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, there are two different charges. One was $89 for brush removal.
Yeah.
And another one was $59 for weeding the weeds.
So one is for performing the service and the other is for removing the result of that service. Right?
Yeah.
This is the official invoice that was sent invoice number 186. It says debris removal and parcel mowing for $149.71 is the official invoice that was sent from my desk to Mr. Joseph.
Okay.
Well, we need to have a discussion. Larry?
Well, I'm trying to... So, Mr. Joseph, would I be correct in saying when you saw the brush description, did you feel this didn't apply to you or something else?
Well, I didn't see, I didn't feel it was any brush.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm seeing here is just a problem in communication to some degree.
I guess you'd call it, but the way I'm understanding this is there was a service that needed to be taken care of, and as a result of that service, a brush pile was created, which there's a charge for removing that pile.
Yeah, we're getting into terminology, and it's how it's communicated to and by everybody involved. I don't know if there's really a solution here. Right now, I'm looking at it as a procedural thing we can fix. Better enhance our communication in the future.
I'm not sure how many check boxes I can put on.
Well,
because in that box that we're talking about, it says brush and debris.
Okay.
Brush/debris, and this falls into that category. I'm not sure what else you call something that we make and fall down. No, it's not brush, but it is debris. And that's what is being removed in one cubic yard.
Or less.
Or less. But our base rate is one cubic yard.
Thoughts?
Well, if you had told me that this other work you had done had been performed concurrently, I would have said sure, because, maybe they created some stuff. But honestly, that wasn't a lot of work from the standpoint of an owner doing it. And the city's program gives notice, asks you to do it yourself, waits several weeks, has a public hearing, says, here's what we're going to do, here's the people that have gotten notice, here's your opportunity to finish it, gives all of that warning, and then say, well, I just let them do it, and then I don't like how much they charge. It's not something that we want to do. It's something that we have to do. And if people choose not to do it themselves and choose to disregard the notices, I don't think that's a lot for that service. So, and if there's a minimum, there's a minimum. So I'm sorry, but I don't see that there's a, if... Well, as those things do. Well, I can't speak to that because, again, we don't notify the alleyway. We notify the owner of the property, and it's your responsibility to the property line. So that's just my feeling about it. I'm sorry. I'd love to say, that wasn't appropriate, but I do feel that it was appropriate.
Yeah, Mr. Joseph, really what we're doing here is we're having a discussion amongst the council on the outcome of this. I mean, if you have any particular question prior to our discussion, I'd be happy to have you ask those questions. But Larry?
I don't have any questions at all.
What are your thoughts on the matter?
It's a new area to me. I did landscaping before. I know if there was a notice. Sounds like a terminology to me that maybe a little bit more handwriting on certain areas, like more explanation maybe. I don't know if that will help. I know you guys have your, I haven't even seen a checklist yet, so I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, but it sounds like it's more of a clarification, But there was a notice. That's the whole thing. If I had a notice, I would respond to the notice. Or suffer the consequences.
Gary?
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I want to thank Mr. Joseph for, for coming here tonight and stating his case.
Sure.
Glad to see that, and it's good to see you anyway. Always good to see you. But John has he's not disputing the fact that the work was done. There's a minimum charge, and I think the dispute's over verbiage is all. So I see that as a minor issue, but the work was done and the minimum charge was met. So unfortunately, I feel that the charge should stand. So I hate to break the bad news, but then just say it was noticed and weeds grow fast, and it is, and the city doesn't Chief Peabody and his team don't want to be in the weed abatement business. This is just this weed abatement falls under the purview of the fire department just because it's strictly a fire hazard issue. It's a health and safety issue, so it's not a business the city likes to be in, and it's certainly no fun. But I appreciate you stating your case, and there was weed, there were weeds and debris there, and they were removed, and the minimum charges were imposed. So, so that's all I had to say. So, anyway, thank you, Mr.
Hey, thank you. Just as a, I think we'll go ahead and just as the to get a general consensus of the council under this matter. Is there any member of the council who believes these charges should be changed or not applied?
No.
No.
Okay, therefore, it's the council's decision not to change any of the charges. Sorry, Mr. Joseph.
Thanks, John.
Anybody else like to speak? No. It's a public hearing. Yeah, it's a public hearing if you'd like to come up. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to close public hearing at 7:29 p.m. Pleasure of the council. If there's no further questions, pleasure of the council.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the resolution of the City Council of the City of Willows confirming costs of abatement and declaring them as special assessment be approved as presented.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries. Item number 9 is ordinances. There are none. Item number 10, items introduced by City Council or administrative staff for discussion purposes only. Chief Peabody, thank you very much for the last, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to thank for that. Item number 10, items introduced by City Council administrative staff for discussion purposes only. Item 10A is O'Reilly's project update.
Thank you, Your Honor. Members of the City Council, just I know I've had several questions about the O'Reilly's project and where it's at. I just wanted to let everybody know that they have completed now all of their easements, adjustments, and all of the legal descriptions that needed to be done to record the lot so that the project can move forward. That has been done. Those things have been recorded with the county and sent back to the owners and to the O'Reilly folks. They are in the process of setting up a bid for the construction of the project that's slated to go out to bid on or about August 1st, the end of this month or the first part of August. Typically, they go out to bid for 45 to 60 days. So once that's bid, they'll award a contract. We'll have somebody in here likely around November to start demolition and construction. So that's the time frame. That's what's happening, but that project's moving forward. So that's what I wanted to let you know about that.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
No.
Okay. That's good news. Great news.
Super. Okay. Item 10B, Municipal Code, Chapter 2.05, Section 2.05.040, regular meeting date, time, and place, and Chapter 10.50, Section 10.50.120, parking for consecutive period exceeding 120 hours prohibited.
Thank you, Your Honor. Some follow-up conversation with members of the City Council about the posting within the Municipal Code concerning the regular meetings of the City Council. And in that section of the code, 2.05, it clearly states that the council meets on the second Tuesday of each month and can then have a consecutive meeting, a second meeting on the fourth or the fourth Tuesday. I'm sorry, the second and potentially the fourth Tuesday. It also says that the time and the place of the meeting is here, but it's at 7:30 p.m. rather than 7 p.m. We've been regularly holding the meetings at 7. When this section of the code was last updated several years ago, there was some discussion about changing the time, and the council didn't wish to change it at that time. So in this discussion, I placed this item on the agenda for the pleasure of the board to say whether or not you'd wish to have a change in the time of the meeting and bring the code up to date. And it would be my suggestion that if we were going to do that, we would state a time, but at the time would then be subject to a time set by resolution of the city council in the future, so that you wouldn't have to do an ordinance rewrite each time. If somebody wanted to change the time, any subsequent council could adopt a resolution which sets the time of the meetings. So with that, it's really up to the pleasure of the council. If you wish to have the time changed and the code brought up to date, we can do an ordinance correction and insert language that would allow a subsequent change to be done by resolution.
Okay. Thank you.
I think this is overdue. I mean, really, the city code states we meet at 7:30, yet we're meeting at 7 o'clock all the time. So I like the idea. The resolution approach gives us some flexibility.
Okay. I agree.
Okay.
Same.
Good. You're good.
I agree. The 7 o'clock time has worked well for a long time, so yeah. I agree. Let's change it.
Okay. Direction given.
All right. We'll draft an ordinance and bring it back to a subsequent meeting for introduction and can go from there. And then the time to be established will be subject to the debate at the discretion of the council. So
super.
Whether it be 7 or 5 or 4 or 8:30 or whatever it is.
1:30.
Yeah, you can just set the time. And then subsequent times could be changed by resolution of the city council. That's how we'll try to set it up.
Okay.
So we'll do that and get it back to you in the relative near future.
Great. Thank you.
On the second item, again, a follow-up discussion about the section of the code that is subject to extended parking on city streets for periods in excess of 120 hours. There was a concern that this may be too prohibitive. In my discussion with the police chief, he pointed out to me that the state motor vehicle code only allows 72 hours. So in the city's jurisdiction, this is, you know, two-thirds longer. This is 66% greater than what the state code would allow anyhow. We've never had any problems with the code that we're aware of. We haven't researched for anything that was ticketed, but we're certainly not aware of anything in the past, well, in the time I've been here, in the past 8 years. So, again, if it's the pleasure of the council to eliminate that provision or extend it to a longer time frame, that's possible, but it's here to allow the council to articulate their discretion and whether or not we want to amend this section of the code to address that particular prohibition that's currently in the municipal code or in the chapter.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Gary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm satisfied with the current municipal code of 120 hours, personally.
Okay.
It's been the law for
1959.
I think it's well established, and most folks realize that. So, I don't see a problem. I don't see a reason, personally, to change it.
Okay.
Unless someone can convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet, Larry.
Well, I don't have the police department here to ask questions about, but if a car is registered and he's parked in the street, and I park in the street sometimes, so basically if I park my car in front of my street for 5 days, there's a possibility. Basically, I can get a ticket.
Yeah, if it's not registered, you can't park there at all.
Right. So if a car is registered, then if it's unregistered, yeah, I could see that. But we don't really enforce that, do we? So I don't have the police department here.
Let's say you're supposed to.
Well,
it's a law.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do enforce it.
Well, I haven't heard any complaints so far, so I'm okay with it right now. But I do park my car in front of my house probably 5 days. But it is registered, and I think it's okay to be parked in front of my house for 5 days.
Typically, what you find is if you looked at today would have been a good example. If you looked at the police logs that were issued from yesterday's activity, somebody called the police department to alert the law enforcement officers that there was a strange car parked in front of their house for some 4 days. We responded, checked the registration, and found out it was a new car that belonged to a neighbor across the street. So that was okay. It was just a strange vehicle in the neighborhood. Somebody was concerned, called it in, and it gets checked. So it is enforced. Typically where we find them is somebody's calling in a concern or a complaint that a car hasn't moved for an extended period of time. And a number of times we've found stolen vehicles or abandoned vehicles or vehicles that are just left set there. But I don't think we're overly stringent with the parking in residential neighborhoods. That's why I suspect since 1959 there really hasn't been much of a problem, but there is the potential for a 5-day notice if you exceed the 120 hours or 5 days. You can be noticed, and the notice will then give you time to have your vehicle moved. You could move the vehicle forward or backward 6 inches, and you've complied with the law, and you get another 5 days. It hasn't been problematic, but it is on the books. So if we want to change it, this would be the time to direct staff to bring back an ordinance to change it.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, if I may. Yeah, along with the city manager's comments on that. I mean, it's the spirit of the law, as we know, not the letter of the law. And the police department has never, you know, over-enforced this in the city, to my knowledge, especially in the residential areas. This particular ordinance is basically to eliminate and reduce blight. It's not, you know, no homeowners, property owners in residential areas have ever been targeted with this. I think it's for several of the points that Steve mentioned also, for, you know, those types of suspicious vehicles, stolen vehicles, vehicles involved in criminal activity. I think it's great. It's a tool for local law enforcement to have on the books. It's a tool they can work with, and it's common sense enforcement, and it's never been an issue, and I don't perceive it ever will be an issue, really. I mean, I think it's a good tool to have on the books. So, and, you know, it's not to, you know, like Steve said, all you have to do is move it an inch and you comply with the law. So, I mean, I don't see it as an issue. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Terry?
So, I'm not in law enforcement, so you guys probably have a better grasp of this, but are we talking about just city streets? Does it apply to parking lots? Does it apply to other?
That would be city streets.
Just on the city street.
A highway within the city.
Parking in parking lots would be subject to the owner's permission.
Okay, so if we were talking about a downtown area or a freeway area that had parking lots, do the owners have that same ability to say, oh, someone came and I mean I see it in the police logs, the motel people say, oh, somebody's parked in the back for several days, and they're just living out there or camping out there and want them to be checked out. But I was thinking downtown, if there was somebody parked in a public lot, this same time limit would apply.
If it was a publicly owned, if it's a city owned parking lot, yes.
Okay.
If it's that would apply the same as a street. The code wouldn't differentiate.
Okay.
But if it's a private parking lot, such as the one at the corner of Sycamore and Tehama, that would be subject to the owner's preference. If they wanted to allow somebody to park there for 60 days, that would be up to the owner. And typically where you find that is people park cars for sale.
Mm-hmm.
If they have the permission for the owner, they can park their car there, put a for sale sign on it, and leave it set for 60, 90. There's not really a restriction. if it's on private property and legitimately parked there with the expressed consent of the owner, there isn't any violation occurring.
Okay, thank you.
Larry?
Actually, I was impressed a few meetings back by Ms. Hanks, I believe her name was. She had brought this issue to the city council, and she brought up some good points about the five-day limit if someone's on vacation or if they're in the hospital. Those were good arguments to me. Also in town, not everybody has off-street parking. There's some neighborhoods where there's no off-street parking for whatever reason. So the only remedy they have is to park on the street. And many times there may be a vehicle that is not used for more than 5 days. And I'm very uneasy with the talk about we have this law, but we'll do selective enforcement, kind of. I don't like that being discussed at the city council. I mean, if we have an ordinance, we enforce it properly. If that's not the situation, then we need to decide on a solution. I'm in favor of extending the five-day period. I can't really offer an alternative number, but there's a lot of issues, and Ms. Hanks did bring up some very good points. Once in a while, I will go on vacation for more than 5 days. I know there's other people in the community that'll do that, or, as she brought up, especially elderly people who are hospitalized, they may have a vehicle that they leave on the street for more than 5 days, and there could be no one around to respond to a notice. The enforcement of this is something we have to consider carefully. If we have the 5 days, we need to enforce it. And if we're choosing to massage how we enforce it, then we need to consider if it's the appropriate time frame.
Okay, thank you, Larry.
Mr. Mayor. Larry, when you said selective enforcement, were you talking about my comment about spirit of the law versus letter of the law?
Yeah.
I didn't say selective enforcement.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how it would be interpreted.
No. In the United States, under the Constitution, basically the law is meant to be enforced by the spirit of the law. It can be enforced by the letter of the law, but the intent of law generally is the spirit of the law, generally.
Selective enforcement would be more of a derogatory term for somebody utilizing their position of power in any manner that person feels necessary.
Well, then I'd restate, if we're going to have it on the books, then we need to enforce it as 5 days and give notices. Otherwise, we need to reconsider the wording of the ordinance. Yeah. How about that?
Very good.
Generally, with the residential areas, the police department has never abused that ordinance. It like I said, it's a good tool to have on the books. The 5 day would definitely apply downtown more so, for example, the downtown business area. But also, you have to keep in mind street sweeping. One of the luxuries that we have within the city and the city of Willows here is the Public Works Department does a great job with street sweeping during leaf season. That's a weekly, a weekly event citywide, and it's not just to take care of the leaves, obviously, it's for our drainage issues, but that's an issue. The law has never been abused. There could be specialty cases, but really, I've never seen the law misapplied in any residential areas. And I know a lot of folks that don't have off-street parking. But really, it's to reduce blight. It's to keep these clunkers off the road that sit there for months and months at a time, and sometimes it happens. But I see it now as a good tool, the way it's written for 120 hours, especially under these difficult situations that law enforcement encounters that you don't have another recourse, but you do have a recourse with the ordinance. It's a good tool. So that, but I just want to make sure I'm not talking selective enforcement, spirit of the law versus letter of the law. So, which is a common sense issue, basically.
Yeah.
Do the right thing. So anyway, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'll conclude by saying that I think if we took a poll, I think 120 hours is pretty lenient amongst most cities, and we do have a fairly laxed law regarding parking of vehicles. There's many cities where you can't park trailers that aren't attached at all, not for 10 minutes. And I mean, there's we could really crack down on a lot of things, but I don't think we really want to do that. We like to live in a community where we can all get along. And I also noticed this, and it's very common for people to believe that that parking space in front of their house on the street is theirs, when in fact it is not. Mm-hmm. They have no right to that space versus anybody else. And 5 days, I think, gives you adequate time to make to allow somebody else to move your car if you're not feeling well, or you're in the hospital, or, you know, contact the police department, let them know. You know, I don't know. This just really hasn't been a big issue in the past. I don't see a need to review it, but since we are just going over items introduced by council and whether or not we want to have this for a further discussion, I'll leave it up to the council. You believe we should bring this up in a future agenda item?
Yeah.
Terry?
No.
I don't. Larry?
It's like Hanson said, it's the spirit of the law first and the letter of the law, and I was just making a comment that I do park in front of my house a lot. And sometimes I don't even know if it moves for 5 days, but I'm okay with it. No one's approached me with any concerns.
Okay.
I hope no one tells the police department. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And Gary?
No, you're right. So I'm satisfied currently.
I think we know how this would go on a future agenda item perhaps, but
okay.
If you really want to push it to place it on a future agenda item, we can do that at your right as a council member, but I think we kind of have a general consensus of what this is.
I'd probably, like Councilmember Mello said, you know, we need the police department here if we're going to have further discussion, but I'm good with it for now. We can try discussing it at a future point.
Okay. So that's where we are with that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Council. Okay, item number 11 is new business. 11A, City Council to consider approval by resolution to authorize the city manager to submit an application for cleanup and abatement account interim emergency drinking water funds from the State Water Resources Control Board.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of the City Council. For what little I know about this, unfortunately, we have Tara Henry here from Cal Water out of the San Jose office, and I'm sure she knows a lot more of the background on this than I. What I can tell you is Cal Water approached us about the potential for a partnership for the city to submit a grant in an effort to help Cal Water mitigate the expense of treating chromium 6, which is a new law that became effective on July 1st of this year. Through some funding sources, there was some money set aside for water issues, a lot of those drought related. Obviously, but there was this one account that's available through the financial assistance branch of the State Water Resources Control Board, and it requires that a public agency submit an application for the funds, and that would mean that Cal Water cannot, because they are not a public agency. They are a public utility, but not a public agency that qualifies under the grant. So the city would have to submit the application, and if we submit the application, then we would have some obligation for partial administration of the grant. However, it is a straight grant. The funding would come as a grant. It doesn't have a repayment obligation, so the city wouldn't have any obligation to repay it. We would have to assure that Cal Water had spent the money in compliance with the proper guidelines under the grant structure, as it were. Cal Water has assured me that they have had partnerships in the past and that they would be willing to enter into an MOU for administration purposes under the grant. So they would essentially track all of the auditing and the administration of the grant and so forth through an MOU with the city to act as the fiduciary agent on behalf of doling out the funds, as it will. So with that, staff is recommending that the council consider authorizing us to submit that. It is a time-sensitive issue. The quicker we can get the grant, the quicker we can get the application in there, the better off we're going to be. And the clock is running. So with that, I can turn it over to Tara, and she'd be happy to answer any questions about it from there. Thank you.
Tara, was there anything you'd like to say before we start calling you?
Well, just for clarification purposes, in case you guys didn't read the whole big packet that the city council has there, it's a grant that we're applying for about $3.8 million. And that would be to offset the cost for the new Chromium 6 regulation. And as an investor-owned utility, we're regulated by the Public Utilities Commission. And they actually have rules that strictly prohibit our shareholders from benefiting in any way from grant money. So this grant money 100% would help the residents of Willows offset the cost of this new regulation.
Okay, thank you. Larry?
Okay. Is this a competitive grant from the State Water Resources Control Board, or
there are other applicants? So we don't at this point know, you know, if we will get all the money we're asking for, or some, or none.
Okay, so it's a limited pool, probably the legislature set aside. You're asking for $3.8 million, approximately, in the grant, and the cost for installing the Chrome 6 equipment's about $9 million. Is 3.8 the limit on the grant, or
that's what's left in that fund? We have applied for two other grants as well, so we're if we don't get any grant funding, it's not for lack of trying.
Okay, so you're parceling out the $9 million over across three grants. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the 3.8 is all that's left in that fund, so we're
I see what you mean.
For everything that's left there, but the other grants we've applied for, we may not get all the funding either, so we're just trying to do everything we can to try to get some grant money.
Okay, so we're hoping to clean out the cookie jar, so to speak.
That's our proposal.
Okay. I also noticed in your application packet you mentioned the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan. You applied for funding under that for about, I'm not sure, I think it said $8 million. So that's one of the other funding sources then, the IRWMP?
Yes, okay. And we aren't sure when we're going to hear back about that grant. And then the third grant we've applied for is Proposition 50 funding through the research part of Proposition 50. And both of those, that application's been submitted, and we should hear within 2 months from about now.
Okay. Yeah, it would be nice, even the $500 annual increase in cost is over $1 million to the community. And that's a huge economic impact. That's not money that's being spent at a hardware store or something. It's right. It's leaving. So did you want to ask the question on the wells, Terry?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll let Walter ask that himself since he's here.
Okay. I'm good for now. Thank you.
Okay.
Terry? So what he was alluding to is I had gotten a call from a citizen today asking some questions about this, but I see that he's here, so...
And I spoke to him earlier, so if he has any questions.
So I referred him to the appropriate people. So this is a grant, but I do believe that if the city's the applicant, we would incur some work to administer that grant.
Yeah.
And so that comes out of the grant?
No, this is not the grant. But Cal Water has offered to partner with us in an MOU fashion. So we would have an agreement that would be funded by Cal Water in a different fashion to offset the impact of the city of Willows.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I know we're not the only town at this point right now, so as soon as we get the paperwork in, the better. That's all I have to say.
All right, Gary?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. That was one of my questions, Larry. Do you know what the status of the other municipalities? There are five, correct, other municipalities in the same boat. We are same situation with Chromium 6, I believe.
There are probably a lot more.
I mean, in this
that.
Area. I'm talking about in this region. But do you know if this is the universe of money that's left in that for that funding source, the 3.8, that's the total universe left?
Yes.
So do you know what the status of the other municipalities, if they have pursued that same grant funding?
I don't know, but I would be surprised, because on Chromium issues, we're
quite ahead of the other communities, probably a year ahead in planning right now.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. Thanks. Well, I mean, what are our options? I mean, we're looking at a $9 million bill. We've got to pursue every angle. You know, this is no cost to the city, so it's obviously the right thing to do. I was intrigued by the historical data from the Department of Public Health, the information on the wells, and I see Cliff Wade's here. So, they're about 700-foot wells, Cliff, pretty much, still. I'm just curious. About 700-foot wells, in generally, most of the domestic. I saw there was 587, 700, okay. I was just looking at this dated from 1964 information, also the fact that the tank was built in 1921, so I thought that was interesting. So that was interesting historical reading. I really got a kick out of that. So, but anyway, no, I think it's the right thing. This is the right angle to do. I'm not going to apologize. He's historical because he's the same age as me. So there you go. It just happens. Thanks, Cliff. Didn't mean to put you on the spot. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Very good. Thank you. And I agree. And thank you for your diligence and hard work. And, yeah, whatever we can do to save us some money, we'd appreciate. So, and it is time sensitive, right? As soon as we get it out there, the better we'll hear a response. Sure. Yeah. If you'd like to speak, come on up.
There is a resolution involved here with authorized via society to submit it. We could have that off tomorrow.
Great.
I just want to make the council aware that what's not mentioned in the resolution or any part of this application would be the separate MOU for the administration issue. We would like to submit the application. And if we grant support to the city, we will return with an MOU. So we have an opportunity to review how Cal Water will offset the impacts of the administration.
Fair enough. Yeah. Please.
Rick Reynolds, owner of the State House. I didn't come here to even talk about this.
It's okay.
The company that I work with out of Texas has resolved the Chromium 6 back to a Chromium 3 with carbon filters in 18 countries and 26 cities for about 1/8 of the cost that we're talking about. Has anybody explored this with microbiology? This can be brought from a Chromium 6 to a Chromium 3, which meets the EPA standards and all of the other standards that we're trying to deal with, from what I understand. I should have been here a long time ago. I didn't know it had gotten to this stage. I'm sorry.
But it's a state mandatory thing, yeah.
I brought it up to my microbiologist this morning in Texas, and he says, Rick, I can send you all the research you want. If you want, I'll fly up there, and I will explain to them how this is done with adaptive carbon filters to our wells and putting the microbiology into the wells so that the microbes consume those metals and all the negatives that we have going on in those wells. They'll consume that. I work with this on a daily basis. I fly all over the United States speaking on microbiology. So I just wanted to throw that out there in case there's something that we can do to keep our costs down.
Sure.
And still work with Cal Water and everybody else to try and help. Because me owning a restaurant, my water bill is already $400 a month. I don't want it to be $1,200 a month after we get done with all the adaptive services and everything that we need to do.
I appreciate
it. I didn't come to talk about it, so I didn't bring any documentation yet, but I can provide you with all that.
Too. Okay. I would agree that nobody in this room wants our rates to go up a penny more, but, you know, with the state-mandated regulations. But I do appreciate you coming up forward with this information. Yeah, maybe you can provide. To Cal Water, sure. Yeah. And,
so I can speak to that.
Maybe you could give Terry your information.
I can speak to it right now. So there's also chemical reductants that would convert chromium 6 to chromium 3. However, when we apply chlorine to disinfect the water, it reoxidizes in the distribution system. So we feel that doesn't meet the spirit of the law because it would just be the same thing when it got to the customers.
This is live microbial activity.
Right.
Yeah. We actually have live microbes that we've done it overseas.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree it'll work, but once we
Once we apply the chlorine, which we do after treatment, it will reoxidize to chromium 6 in the distribution system. So when it gets to your house, it would be the just like we never treated it.
Not with the carbon filters. The carbon, the filters that we would adapt, that we could adapt and have worked in other places, would pull that in, and they would have to be changed quite frequently. So that is a little bit of a cost, but not near what we're talking about. I'm just throwing that out there. I actually talked with Cal Water before. Mm-hmm. I've had two meetings with them and tried to get them to sit down and bring this guy up here so we could talk about it, and nothing was followed through on. So I just wanted to put that out there. Sorry I'm so late talking about this. We need to go ahead with whatever we're proceeding to, but we could do this for a lot less.
Okay.
I just thought I'd put that out there.
I'll be happy to give you my card, but we have looked at the biological, the kind that removes as well, and we haven't found it to be as cost effective.
Probably not our strengths.
Okay. Rick, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else like to speak? Please step forward.
Maximum contaminant level, but actually the 1 in 1,000,000 would be to the public health goal level.
All right, so they're a little bit different. Nevertheless, if that's your goal, they can call it the PhD public health. Then if you look at the water system for Willow serving 6,000 people, and you're going to spend $9 million putting this filtration system to prevent a cancer in 1 in 1,000,000,000 people. Now, is anybody following me?
Yeah, you know what? I just kind of want to, I understand what you're saying here. Uh-huh. We're beyond that.
I understand.
Okay.
Now
we're just trying to apply for a grant to lower our cost that the state's already said we have to do, and we can't overturn that. Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak? No? Okay. We, pleasure of the council.
No questions, just a brief comment on, you know, Mr. Shower's comments there, but you know, the California Public Health, as we know, has imposed this ridiculous regulation on us, and unfortunately, we have no choice. Larry Mello and I attended the public hearing, and I have yet to receive a package from Department of Public Health. Have you, Larry?
Nope.
No. We signed up to receive the informational material as that stemmed as a result after the conclusion of the public hearing. Still haven't received anything, so... I mean, the minds were made up. It was going to happen, period. You know, damned with the small municipalities like Willows. You know, that was just the way it was, period. And we knew, you know, unfortunately, we could see the writing on the wall. So we're just trying to be proactive. None of us like this at all. But, you know, I don't believe there is any digging your heels in here. If you dig your heels in, we won't have water delivery here. As a municipality, Cal Water won't be allowed to distribute drinking water. So that's what we're facing. So, unfortunately, I, you know. Oh, yeah, sure. Yes.
Can
Come up to the microphone, please. Come up. You gotta speak in the microphone so the tape recorder hears you.
I just want to rebut that comment because if the industry deals and said we aren't going to do it, do you seriously think that the state would come in and shut down Cal Water and turn everyone's water off?
Well, then again, this is Cal Water. Also, this isn't City of Willows, but it's a Cal Water system. Do I think the state won't allow? Do I think the state of California would not allow Cal Water to deliver municipal drinking water? I do believe that. Yes.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Unfortunately. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you.
That's all I had, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Actually, just for the public record, I had one more question for Cal Water. You're putting the equipment on four of your seven wells. So my understanding is that you can get by with Cal Water and Willows can get by with those four wells to meet the demands. That's why only four out of the seven is being.
Right. So since the economic downturn, the maximum day amount that we have to meet has actually decreased here in Willows and several other communities. So that's part of the reason that we can get away with fewer wells. But we'll also keep those other wells that are not treated on standby status, so they're available for emergency in case of a fire or a really unusual type demand. They would just come on for a very short period of time. We'd be allowed to use them for 5 consecutive days, no more than 15 days a year for each of those standby wells.
Okay, that's what I was after. The exceptions written into the regulations. Okay, thank
yes.
you. Then I had one question for city staff when we get to that. Steve, the city operates a small water system down at Road 57. What's the impact of this on that? Is it this in the since it's so small, is it going to be further down the road or?
Because of the size of the system, we're not having the same implementation schedule or guidelines as Cal Water, obviously.
Okay. So probably at least a year out?
We're probably a year, year and a half out. Yeah.
Okay.
And we hope to have an answer well in advance that what the cost would be. But so
okay.
We'll be able to exchange that information with the council and analyze where we're going. And when we get to the time frame that we know what's happening, you should have all the information to make the decision that you need.
Okay. Thank you. I'm good.
Okay, then.
I do.
You need to come up to the microphone, sure.
Well, the microphone is a concerned citizen, but one thing I just haven't heard addressed yet tonight is I was reading the application. Initially, I heard through a few sources within the community that their testing was done at the actual water tower, which through multiple searches confirmed that that was not what was the case. It was conducted at the 7 well. Within the application, though, it says that Cal Water utilizes 7 wells to suffice the Willows water, and that all of them are contaminated. Well, within that, it says the cure that we're going to do is purchase and install 4 treatment plants, which actually three wells still contaminated. So after talking with the lady over here, she informed me, and I just come this because I'm sure people might ask you this, that those will be held on standby, and that in emergency they are allowed to be used in a 5-day frequency with a maximum of 15 days per year. So that's one thing I just didn't see in the application. That was why I was so interested in it. I just wanted to comment.
Very good. Thank you.
Just have one. So, Mr. Schauer, in relation to what you said about will they shut it down, and we went through a similar problem with the sewer plant upgrade, and yes, they said they would shut us down, and we didn't believe that either. But we were not. Then the fines began. So that's the other hook that is in some of this, is the fines started, you know, piling up. So it's, you know, one way or the other. When we first got notice about this, I think there was some private party concern. My hope was that we'd have a group that would come forward of citizens that might be able to research alternatives that would be able to possibly say, you know, here's to the council what we propose. And it has gone beyond that at this point. So I don't have a problem filing for a grant for what we know is part of what's going to happen. In any event, something's going to happen, whether it turns out to be the full extent of what's proposed or whether it turns out to be something completely different. But I don't think we can lose by at least applying for funding at this point. So, but, you know, if you gentlemen have the ability or the intent to form a group, form a citizens committee, work with Cal Water, they have asked us over and over again to work with them, to have input. I've heard their presentations several times. You know, that was suggested. It simply hasn't happened. So at this point, we're dealing with that fact that what Cal Water is proposing is all we have on the table. So thank you.
Okay, it's up to the council now. Either a motion of approval or?
I will read this if you give me the glasses.
It's a long title.
It's a
nobody
long
jumps forward.
It's a long title. Okay, Mr. Mayor, I propose that we approve resolution of the City Council of the City of Willows authorizing submittal of an application to the California State Water Resources Control Board for funding under the Cleanup and Abatement Account Interim Emergency Drinking Water Financial Assistance Program, and if selected, the execution of a standard agreement, any amendments thereto, and of any related documents necessary to participate in the State Water Resources Financial Assistance Program.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 11B, consider adopting a resolution authorizing the extension of our contract planning services agreement with Wilden Engineering for fiscal year 2014/15. Thank you, Tom. Staff?
Thank you, Your Honor, members of the City Council. This is just a straightforward renewal of a contract. Each year, a contract for planning services expires on June 30th. We were just a little delinquent in getting back to Wildan and having them forward a proposal to continue the services. The proposal to continue their services are at the same rate as they've been since 2010. So the 9-10, 10-11, 11-12, 12-13, 13-14, and now for the 14-15 year, they would remain the same. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Gary, do you have any questions?
No questions at all. I'm very happy with the services that Wildan has provided, and Kira Mantelli as well. She's been a definite asset to the city services and city staff here. Plus, she's a pleasure to deal with. I think she's done fantastic work, and Wildan has provided excellent services to the City of Willows. I think we should continue along the same course. Great. Nothing further.
Thank you. Larry?
No questions.
Terry?
No, nothing.
Larry?
No.
I agree 100%. So, pleasure of the council.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve a resolution to the City Council of the City of Willows and authorizing the extension of the public agency agreement with Wildan Engineering Consultants for general planning and environmental services during fiscal year 2014-2015.
Okay, very good. It's been moved.
Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Item 11C, consider by motion adoption of a resolution authorize a side letter addendum agreement to expand Wildan Engineering's professional services agreement regarding the above agenda item to include home program administration services as required under the home program guidelines. Staff.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of the City Council. This is kind of a related item, although we are counting on Karen Mantelli to administer the home loan program on behalf of the city. We didn't have a specific agreement in place with Wildan to do so, and we thought that it would be best in this case to have an addendum to the contract that spells out that their responsibility would be the coordinating function of administering the home loan program for the City of Willows. There's a lot of work that goes into that. There's a significant part of the grant administration which goes unnoticed on a day-to-day basis, but it requires a great deal of due diligence and a great deal of meticulous detail tracking throughout the process. This will go on through the series of the process through the closeout of the loan program. It's a big deal. The city was awarded $100,000 in fees through the grant to do this. But some of those have been spent on legal review getting to this point. Some of those will be spent through portions of the contributions that other city staff make, other consultants such as the city engineer and so forth. But this portion would pay Karen to be the point person to be the official coordinator of all things home loan program, which really makes our administrative life easy in the City of Willows. We have that one person who's responsible to put together the entire of the audit trail for us. So that's the purpose behind it, and if there are any questions, Tim and I will endeavor to try and answer those for you. Thank you.
I guess the only thing I'll point out is that it is a requirement of the home grant program that if we have an administrative contractor, which we would in the case of Wildan and Karen, that they be identified and a contract be in place. So it is also a requirement.
Okay, thank you. Larry?
No questions. I'm sure Professor Salisbury is relieved not to have to even touch.
Well, Professor Salisbury is touching it quite a bit, but he's also very, very grateful to Karen for her role in this, because she is taking the lead on a lot of this.
Yeah.
So any time that you would spend would also be charged out?
Any time that is above and beyond the general accounting and fiscal responsibility of generalized grant management. Anything that is deemed to be specific to this, that would be outside the course of normal charge to it.
Okay.
But if it's general day-to-day accounting function, general ledger function, no, I have not done that.
No, but specific to audit issues with that.
Specific to audit issues, they'll likely charge to it.
Okay, thank you.
And I think some of that will become, we'll look at this at the tail end and see what is available of the administrative amount at the end and charge.
Okay, thank you.
Larry?
No questions.
Gary?
Is just one question, not pertaining to this issue. Is Professor Salisbury related to Paul Harvey? He kind of talks like him. I'm sorry.
What are we on? Page 9?
Page 9.
Page 10. Okay. Yes. No, nothing. Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Anything from the audience? No? Okay. Pleasure of the council.
I guess it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the resolution entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Willows and authorizing a side letter addendum to the public agency agreement with Wildan Engineering Consultants for specialized administrative planning and environmental services in conjunction with the home loan program associated with Willow Senior Apartment Project be approved.
Yes.
Second.
I think Terry got you.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Well, for those of you who stuck around the entire meeting, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Is there any council member reports before we call tonight?
I don't have anything.
I do have one quick one. I did attend the Expect Success Summer Camp program. I received an invitation from them to attend as city council. I was glad I did. It was an impressive program. The people from the Packard Foundation that fund this were there. I mean, the city's I took the lead years ago in having after-school programming, and it wasn't until we did it that that then the county schools office seemed to step up, and then eventually they took over the program and run some similar programs. So anyway, I wanted to report out that I was there and saw their program. Talked to Mr. Corney, the people from the Packard Foundation, and they're looking for future funding, which I went, that's nice. Packard Foundation should keep doing this, you know, indefinitely. So I don't know what they'll do if they lose their funding, but they're doing, it's an impressive program, and it's running in Orland as well. So people from Orland and Willows were hosting this jointly for people to come and look at it. So anyway, that's my report.
Thank you, Terry.
Terry, on the 24th is the economic development. I'm going to be there, just to let you know.
Okay, I'm not sure yet. Okay. I'll let you know on that.
And I wasn't here on the 5th of July, so I don't know how it went here in Willows. I was out of town on vacation. But the Thunder Hill Grand Opening?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go. For those people who want to know where I was on business for 2 days. That's all I have.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that was put out in a public way that you know, somehow it blamed people for not coming. That was, you know, short notice on our behalf. Wasn't anybody's fault. I'm sorry it came up at all. So I apologize for that.
Gary.
Yeah, no worries for that, Terry. I was fortunate enough to have been at the previous celebration. It was a good time, great, fabulous turnout. I had a commitment. I was unable to be there. But anyway, so I know you were there, flying both flags.
Yeah, so, they kind of make me be there.
Yeah, very good, very good. Thunder Hill's a great operation, so glad it's here. I have nothing to report. Larry Domenigini was serving as vice chair of the Regional Transit Committee and Transportation Commission.
Actually, I didn't make it either.
Oh, didn't? Oh, okay. I was going to say, okay. Oh, I was going to say thank you for, okay, there you go.
So
did they have a quorum, you know? Did they have a quorum? Oh,
yeah.
They did?
So I'll leave the report to the chairman to report out 2 months at the next meeting.
Well,
I might need to revise the ending time pool
for
the next meeting.
I was out of town in Southern California in business for the most of the past 2 weeks, so I wasn't able to make it. So I know Mr. Mayor and the rest of the council, you're sad that we don't have a Transportation Commission report, a lengthy, detailed report, but I'm sorry.
I'm floored.
We just don't have one this time. So
need to thank me.
It was a light agenda. Thank you, Larry. It was a light, a very light agenda. So anyway, but no, just... it's good to see a lot of building activity in the area and within the city, within the area. The recent businesses that have opened and those that are coming, O'Reilly's, Automated Car Wash, Tractor Supply, it's all good. It's all great. The Ace Hardware in business, the Dollar Tree, it's good. It's all good. So just nice to see. That's all I have.
Things are looking up and up.
Things are looking up. And the senior housing project as well. So, that's all I had, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. And I am saddened for a lack of report.
No, you said excited. Excited and sad at the same time.
We'll make up for it.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting at 8:26 p.m.
Okay.